करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति
शान्ति शान्तिः।
We'll chant chapter 10, verses 6 to 10.
Maharshayat Sapta Purve, Maharshayat Sapta Purve, Chatvaro Manavastada, Chatvaro Manavastada, Madhava Manasa Jataha, Madhava Manasa Jataha, Isham Loka Ima Praja, महर्षयः सप्त पूर्वे चत्वारो मनवस्तदा मद्भावा मानसा जाताः येषां लोक इमां प्रजाः एतां विभूतिं योगं च मम यो वेति तत्त्वतः सोविकम्पेन योगेन युज्यते नात्र संशयः एतां विभूतिं योगं च मम यो वेति तत्त्वतः सोविकम्पेन योगेन युज्यते नात्र संशयः अहं सर्वस्य प्रभवः मत्तस्सर्वं प्रवर्तते इति मत्वा वचन्ते माम् बुधा भावसमन्विताः अहं सर्वस्य प्रभवः मत्तस्सर्वं प्रवर्तते इति मत्वा भजन्ते माम् बुधभावसमन्विताः मच्चित्तामद्गतप्राणाः बोधयन्तः परस्परम् कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम् तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च मच्चित्तामद्गतप्राणाः बोधयन्तम् परस्परम् कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम् तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च तेषाम् सददयुक्तानाम् भजताम् प्रीतिपूर्वकम् ददामि बुद्धियोगम् तम् येन मामुपयान्ति ते तेषाम् सददयुक्तानाम् भजताम् प्रीतिपूर्वकम् ददामि बुद्धियोगम् तम् येन मामुपयान्ति ते।
The song, the kingdom, the rest of the world.
No, same thing.
The, no, not the way. I don't know, the word from Harsha. Can I switch on the fan?
I'm actually, when we came, the AC was blasting, so I don't know.
Should I open the window?
Because the weather, I can open the window.
I'll help you open the window. Oh, yeah. Yeah, ventilation you need. We need to ask Bhabhi to get back to that greenhouse.
Yeah, we can ask it in the greenhouse.
Now we should actually. Can't we have a few cups outside the
window? We have
plenty.
Can I? Are we going too far?
Okay.
chapter 10, the yoga of supreme manifestation, Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti also means glory. So, this chapter is talking about the glory of Atma Brahma. Like I told you, the first six chapters of the Gita talks about the Jiva Swarupa, nature of the individual, Jiva, right? Then,
just a minute, it talks about the
individual's nature. See, first of all, go back. You said this later, but for you to remember this, the Upanishads declare, when you go to the master and ask, what is the reality? And what form is it? They say, Brahman is the reality which is in the form of consciousness. Prajnanam Brahma. Consciousness is Brahman. We are understanding today that we are this body, mind, intellect consciously functioning. Basically, a conscious being or body, mind, intellect, that which is conscious is me, you, etc. This is our understanding. What Vedanta says is, no. Consciousness is expressing through the body, mind, intellect. You are essentially consciousness. So consciousness is Brahman. Reality is through this consciousness. Right? That Prajnana Brahma, when they make the statement, next statement they say, that consciousness, the what? Not this body, mind, intellect. So the next statement is, tat tvam asi. That, thou, what? That consciousness, the what? Not this body, mind, and intellect. Tat tvam asi.
So seeing the same thing but in reverse form.
Exactly. You are putting the cart before the horse. And everybody is putting the cart before the horse, therefore it has become normal. Actually it is abnormal. Basically, if you make a statement, obviously the person is stressed because he has too much work. Then we are kind of accepting the point as if when there is too much work, there will be stress. Right. Then how is a person with less work also stressed? Are you with me? So it is, in other words, we are kind of equating quantum of work to stress. It's wrong. It can never be quantum of work. It is the quality of the worker. If the quality of the worker is egoistic, doership is there, then it produces stress. We have discussed this before. So exactly like that, we have put the cart before the horse. Right? So Vedanta says, consciousness is Brahman. Tat tvam asi. That consciousness, the what? That reality, the what? That Brahman, the what?
And what?
Thou art. Art means thou art. Right? The what? Now, having heard that, from you must keep Shastram, Guru Vakya as Pramana. Shastram and Guru Vakya as Pramana means what? As the authority. With that faith, Shraddha, though it is loosely translated as faith, it is not just kindling, it is much deeper than that. So basically, Shraddha is faith plus conviction plus consistency. I have faith in the words of the Guru. I have faith in the words of the Shastra. But Shraddha is not just that, it's little more. What is that? I see it as truth, I have faith, and I am convinced that it is the truth, and I would like to realize that in my own life, what the Shastra said, what the Guru said, Tattvamasi, that you are reality and not Avantika. You are reality and not Mukta. You are reality and not Ami. Right? I do not want this knowledge to be just settled in my intellectual level. I want myself to experience it. Then what do I do? I continue doing my sadhana. Till the time this statement becomes real to me. Vahuvaitu sadhana, I am Atma Brahma. This Atma is Brahman. I do sadhana. I assert the Atma and negate the Anatma. This sadhana I do as an individual. Then, as my desires go on reducing, and finally, all my desires are completely gone, I realize the self myself. This fact that consciousness is Brahman, that is me, that Guru said, now becomes my personal experience. Then I declare, what do I declare? Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. What?
To realize oneself.
Yes. That's also a desire. But that desire replaces all desires and finally that desire also dissolves. Adi Shankara gives a beautiful example in the text called Atma Buddha. He says, this desire to liberate is also desire. But that desire is one of the qualities essential for a sadhaka. Right? As per our Shastra, fourfold qualifications of a student is mentioned. Fourfold qualifications called as sadhana, chatushtaya, sampatti. Sadhana, chatushtaya, fourfold qualifications of a student. What are the fourfold qualifications? First, viveka. Means what? Clear sense of discrimination. Nitya, anitya, viveka, vichara. Nitya, anitya, viveka, vichara. It's called viveka by Adi Shankara. Discriminating between what is nitya, eternal, what is anitya, ephemeral. While you are contacting the ephemeral, you always have this discrimination going on within. What is nitya, what is ephemeral? And identifying with nitya, that you must have. When you have it 100%, you are already liberated. But to some extent, you should have a viveka. If you want to study the scriptures, under a competent guru, for a length of time, with sadhana. So who is the shishya? First quality, viveka should be there.
So in layman's terms, for people like me, even when somebody is doing something very negative, it's for us to look at, for the God, for the Brahma within that person, which is making them do that action, and focus on the Brahma and not the deed itself.
Relatively, yes.
Yes.
Maybe not 100%, but to some extent you should be able to see that. Viveka should be.
But that should be the goal.
Yeah. So therefore, to the extent you have these four qualities, to that extent you are a shishya.
So Viveka is just discriminating between nitya, anitya and what else?
Nitya, anitya. Nitya, anitya is called when you viveka vichara, when you do vichara over this, that is viveka. Okay. Next qualification mentioned is vairagya. Vairagya means what? Viragi. Viragi means one who is above likes and dislikes. One who is risen above personal likes and dislikes. One who has become a renunciate, detached. Detached from what? Anatma. First you do viveka. What is nitya? What is anitya? Then be detached with anitya. Not mentally be attached. Relatively, detachment is needed. All of you have children. Some of you have grandchildren. You have other responsibilities. But relative detachment, agar nahi hai, even in this 1 hour, 1.5 hours class, you cannot be sitting and concentrating here. Are you with me? Therefore, vairagya is another essential qualification. Theek hai? Then the third qualification, under the third qualification, six aspects are spoken. First is viveka, second is vairagya, third is shat sampati. Shat sampati means sixfold qualifications.
in the third point. Sampat means wealth, character, qualification. What you need, basically. What are they? Sixfold. First one, Shama. Dhamma. Second one is Dhamma. I'll put it this way, Dhamma, Shama. Dhamma means sense control. Shama means mind control. Then Uparati, which is self-withdrawal. Mind is drawn inward. Fourth, Titiksha, endurance. Fifth, Shraddha, faith. Sixth, Samadhana, tranquility. Okay. So under third, sixth is suspension.
Samadhana is tranquility.
Samadhana means tranquility. Balance. Mind. Okay. Now you will not have this 100% in the beginning. But relatively you need this. For example, you are coming to study the scriptures in this class here. On the way somebody picked up an argument with you. I'm trying to pick up an argument. You as a must tell yourself, I am not going to get into the argument. Because this is not my goal. My goal is I am going to study Vedasta. I need a mind which is calm. I do not want to get involved in disturbance. You understand what I am saying? So, Viveka, Vairagya, then the third one is Shat Sampati, which is Shama, Dhamma, Uparati, Titiksha. What is Titiksha? Titiksha endurance. Putting up with inconvenience cheerfully.
Putting up with inconvenience cheerfully.
Cheerfully.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But Guruji,
we opened the windows. Okay. When we are sitting and studying, nothing wrong. Of course, you should open the windows. It's a stupidity not to open the windows and study, right? So that we are not unnecessarily suffocating ourselves with too much cold temperature that's coming from the AC, nor shutting ourselves and suffocating with no air, no fresh air. Right? But let us say, it happens that there is only place available. It's not as if you're going to die there. Then it's stupidity. So another inconvenience is that inconvenience you should be able to put up with cheerfully. To that extent you are qualified to study. Otherwise, it's going to disturb you. If room dik nahi hai, table dik nahi hai, you will not be able to study. So when they say titiksha, endurance, putting up with inconvenience cheerfully. Then comes faith, Shraddha, which I have already explained to you. Then Samadhana, tranquility. Theek hai? Then the fourth qualification is still left. What is that? Mumukshatva. Which is what? Ardent desire to liberate. Mumukshatva. You have to be a mumukshu. You have to be a mumukshu means you should have a burning desire to liberate. Otherwise, why would you want to liberate? Why? First, presuppose as a preposition to this condition of wanting to liberate, first it should be very clear in your head that you are bound. If you are not clear in your head that you are bound, why would you want to liberate? You tell me that first. What do you want to liberate? When you are clear, yes, I am stuck. Only then you will think, how do I liberate, isn't it? So burning desire to liberate, which Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gives a beautiful example to explain Mumukshatva. When you put forcefully somebody's head inside water surface, he will do anything to get out of it. Like that you should feel suffocated in this world, wanting to liberate. So Ami's question, isn't that a desire? Yes. But that desire is needed, which Adi Shankara in the Atma Bodha book explains, with the example of Kataka nut powder. There's a powder called Kataka nut powder. What they do in a pot of water where there is little dirt in that water, they add Kataka nut powder. The Kataka nut powder is also dirt, no? It's also impurity. But that is added. But once that powder is added, what that powder does is, it forms a thick layer on top of the water surface. And once it forms the thick layer, it gathers weight. As it gathers weight, it settles down. As it settles down with all the other impurities. Then the water becomes clean. Like that, this desire to liberate dissolves the other desire along with itself. Then you become liberated. What do you see? Human being minus Brahmana is equal God. So minus the desire to liberate also. But not in the beginning itself. In the beginning you need to have one desire. Like you use one thorn to remove the other thorn. And then finally throw that thorn also. Are you with me? Like that. So, now come back. Again come back to what we started with. Pratyam Brahma, the Guru declares. When the Guru declares Pratyam Brahma, to the extent you are a qualified student, means to the extent you have these qualities, that does something to you. Pratyam Brahma Tattvamasi, when he says that. Then you come back and do sadhana. More and more. Hatha Yoga, Kati Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, all according to your capacity and proportion. On a daily basis. Even when you are travelling. Okay. Then what happens is, you are pursuing the subject with the Shraddha. Because you have burning desire to liberate and make the experience your own. Not just stay in you as an intellectual conviction, but as a subjective transformation. You continue doing sadhana. I am Atma Brahma. I am this Atma Brahman, not this body and intellect. You constantly use your viveka and assert the reality and negate the unreality in and through all your experiences. So slowly over a period of time, what happens is, your desires keep on dissolving. Then finally you realize the self and declare, Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. Soham. Saha Aham. That reality I am. This is the whole result. So when you keep on evolving with your sadhana, when you keep on evolving through your sadhana, your ego dilutes further and further. In the beginning, when you are not even a sishya, you will be saying, everything is happening because of me, my effort. Right? But slowly, slowly, when the ego starts dissolving, what you will say is, all glories is glories of Brahman. Nothing is mine. So this chapter is what? What is it entitled as?
The glory of Atma.
Yoga? What yoga? What is the chapter name? Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti Yoga means Yoga of Supreme Manifestation. In other words, all the glories in the universe is the glory of Brahman. Everything is the glory of Brahman. So when you become extremely successful, in whichever field you are, what you will be thinking, that is also Brahman's glory. Really, this is how your attitude would have changed. And it is true also that it is Brahman's glory. Now, when you say everything that is glorious is Brahman, Whatever things that doesn't seem glorious, aren't they Brahma?
Everything is Brahman.
Yes, everything is Brahman. Then aren't they Brahman? Then how do you explain that?
The negativity?
Anything which doesn't seem glorious now, isn't that Brahman? In this chapter, as we proceed further, you will see, he's going to point out things and best in the world and say that's me.
That's all uneasy, no? That's all not real, then. What is not glorious?
Even what is glorious is not real, no?
So, but
when you say, for example, I am the Garuda of all birds. I'm the Mata Sheeps of all the months. I'm the lion of all the animals. Right? That means what? Only lion is Brahman, everything else is not Brahman. You understand? Lion is very glorious. Pigs are also Brahman, no? If you look at it from that angle. So then the question comes, then what about things that are not glorious? That's my question. How do you explain that? I remember having spoken about this in the beginning. You probably didn't register it. So now you think about it. Give an answer. Then I will...
Beginning today?
Hmm? Beginning. No, just this question. To this question you think an answer. The question is, everything glorious is Brahman. And you say, what about things that doesn't seem glorious? Are they also not Brahman? If that is so, then why is he saying only in reference to glorious things, not what, not those things that are not glorious?
Everything is glorious.
We don't feel glorious,
right? We feel it's
not. A pig is glorious to another pig. We just don't see the glory in it.
Brahma Tatasin.
Is that not what the attempt is, to see the glory in
the world?
In the world. To see the positivity in the negativity. Isn't that what our attempt should be?
The answer to this question is, everything is essentially glorious, but some have manifested the glory, others are not. For example, I will explain this with an example. Brass vessel. The original nature of the brass vessel is shine. Right? Let's say there are 10 brass vessels. Somebody is asking, which one of these is brass vessel? I say, touch one, which is shining. But all the 10 are?
Brass.
But I say, this is brass. Why? The others are also brass, but they are oxidized. When the dirt is removed, shine from within expresses. Okay, number one. And number two, when you are pointing to somebody, instead of saying everything is brass straight away, first you say the shining vessel is brass, by which you are clearly reiterating to him that the essential nature of brass is shine. And then say, these that are not shining also are brass, but they are oxidized. So if you remove the dirt, you will see the shine coming from within. Are you with me? That is how Shastra tries to explain. Are you with me? So, therefore, if a person cannot see the brass vessel in a shining vessel, he obviously will not see the brass in the...
Not
shining vessel. Therefore, they take up the best. But you, whenever the best expresses to you, supposing you do something really wonderful, very nice, when you understand these chapters, deep inside you will have this attitude and feeling. It's the divinity from within that is expressing. You will not unnecessarily have arrogance.
Unnecessarily have
arrogance. So all glories are Brahman's glory. nothing is yours. Your effort only removes the dirt that you have already produced due to your ignorance. When the dirt is removed, the glory of the Self from within extends. Now, when a person really understands this, even if he doesn't see it, see the glory from within, but he understands, instantly his self-esteem changes. Whatever may be his position. Isn't it? The moment he understands this, his self-esteem absolutely bounces back. Like that. Squirrel told the mountain, "There is no disgrace to occupy my place. It takes all sorts of things and weather to make up a spear in the ground." Believe me. Because I understand. Deep inside, I am also Atma, which is glorious. The moment a person starts feeling that way, he is the changed person.
Does that also not sound like ego?
No.
But
ego
is the mountain
has to be differentiated between differentiated from self-esteem. What is the difference between self-esteem and ego? Basically that's what the question is.
No. When you,
how is it not ego?
When you bounce into the self-esteem thing and you start seeing that, oh my God, you know, look at this person, that person, look at, they start saying me, and you feel that, you know, it's your ego that comes in that tells you to tell them, you know, like the squirrel told the mountain that you may think you are great, but you know, I know what.
No, that's what I'm saying. So basically, if you make it clear the difference between self-esteem and ego, your question will become clear. What is the difference between self-esteem and ego?
Being comfortable with what you are and what you are, not becoming like a doormat, being comfortable with what you are as a person and not feeling that I am the be-all and all, the two differences. Not stooping so low that someone can walk over you and take nonsense, doing what is correct, but not feeling that I am greater than all, would be the difference between the self-esteem and ego.
Knowing self-worth, but not treating that self-worth as something supreme, superior, or something inferior. That is self-esteem. For example, a poet went to his friend's house in the evening and knocked at the door. Friend from inside asked, "Who is it knocking the door?" Poet answered from outside, "An outstanding poet is standing up." What is the answer? "An outstanding poet is standing out." Is it a statement of self-esteem or arrogance?
Arrogance.
Hmm?
Arrogance.
Arrogance.
Could be any. It's a play on words.
It's a play on words, yeah. But not the
same. You do answer that other than
me. I'm thinking.
I know that.
So. I think it's bad English, bad English. It's... standing out.
It's the way you look at it. It's the outstanding poet.
And
he
goes to a friend. Don't you think
he an outstanding poet is standing out. He did not say the outstanding poet is standing out. What is the difference between the and an?
Higher.
And what
can be
I know that I'm a good painter.
Yeah.
What is wrong here? But I am not saying I am the only excellent painter.
But anything you do,
therefore,
no?
One, yes. Even if I know that I am 90% painter,
you have to recognize that.
I may be 20% painter. It would be the same. I know my self-worth, but I don't place my self-worth either superior or inferior. Inferior, then it is self-esteem. Please understand this. I should know, but yes, I'm intelligent. I'm one of the leading lawyers. I'm one of the leading doctors. A lot of things, humility to say, I'm nothing, useless. I don't know why you are coming to me. Oh, what a humble man. That is false modesty. That is not real humility. You don't have to put yourself so low. Somebody has invited you to give a talk. Right? 20 minutes you are talking. Your talk itself is for 25 minutes. Out of the first 20 minutes you are saying, I don't know whether I am worth. But you people have called me, you are all great luminaries. I am privileged to talk to you, madam. 20 minutes, okay? Just come. Talk. You understand? You must clearly distinguish between false modesty, self-esteem, ego, and all these things. So that's why I give you the example. An outstanding poet who is standing. But I am not the only one, there are plenty more. There may be more outstanding poets than me also. But it's part of the game. I keep myself in the total entry, always. Like I may have an excellent talent of poetry, but I may be useless in handling my computers. Which may be my 5-year-old son or daughter is better off. I don't even know how to access my bank account. When I am very clear about all these things, that's self-worth. I know, I understand. Is all that squirrel is saying, squirrel in the poem, you want to read the poetry to you. The squirrel is saying in that poetry, very simple, it says, all sorts of things must be taken in together to make up a ear and a tear. Right? It is no disgrace to occupy my place. I am also doing something like a drama victory over Ravana. Even squirrel has played a part. Monkeys have also played a part. In that sense, it's there. So it's not egocentric.
No, after that she tells the mountain that you may think you're big and
no.
But I'm making
mountain is say, no, it doesn't say that. It says, not opening.
That's okay. I believe.
It says, talents differ. It says, talents differ. All is well and wisely put. All is well and wisely put. So what it says finally is, if I cannot carry forest on my back, neither can you crack a nut. So what is it saying? It is saying, in the beginning itself it says, I don't deny, you make a very pretty squirrel track. So it is saying, I appreciate your contribution.
Yeah, but you learn to appreciate
that. Yes, that's all. That's all. So, now I will read the poetry for you. Not for you. Huh? No, because it's a very important poetry. It looks very simple poetry.
Yeah.
But it makes all the understanding that you need in life, you know, especially in all your relationships and everything. Mountain and the Squirrel, the poem by Emerson. The mountain and the squirrel had a quarrel. And the farmer called the latter little break, small fellow. Bun replied, the squirrel replied, you are doubtless very big. Squirrel is telling the mountain. For all sorts of things and weather must be taken in together to make up a year and a spear. And I think it no disgrace to occupy my place. If I am not so large as you are not so small as I am. I am not half so spry. I will not deny you make a very pretty squirrel track. Talents differ. All is well and wisely put. If I cannot carry powers on my back, neither can you crack. That's all the poetry is. Small boy. Right? I understand. My role is very small. In fact, the role of people whose role seems to be
huge,
extremely huge, in comparison to the totality, that is also small. Size of earth, if I ask you, big or small, what will be your answer? Depends. Compared to what? compared to Jupiter, Earth is very, very small. Compared to Sun, even Jupiter is nothing. Compared to there are other stars, right? Compared to that, the Sun itself is nothing. The whole thing is relative. Therefore, even the contribution of somebody which apparently is huge from our level, from the level of total is nothing. This, the huge contributor, when he realizes, he becomes humble. But he realizes, yes, my contribution is huge. But that itself is nothing compared to the contributions of the nature. That's the point you need to understand. So when you understand this chakra from this angle, Vibhuti Yoga, it gives you unbelievable feeling of self-esteem. With that unbelievable feeling of self-esteem, when you are functional, you would firstly be achieving things not to prove to others, but out of self-esteem you function. And the very functioning gives you joy. The very action gives you happiness. It's only the person who lacks self-worth, wants to do something to prove to others to get that worth from others. Are you with me? So when you understand this chapter from this angle, you will start acting just for the sake of acting. Not to prove anybody or disprove anybody, or to prove yourself to others. Just function. In the functioning, in the process, you start getting joy. That action is called as inspired action. Such activity is called as inspired action. So this is what we need to understand, the glory of Brahma. So now, come back to what I started. In the beginning, tattvamasi is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, only the tvam aspect is explained. Tvam is individual nature. The jiva swarupa in the first 6 chapters. That is how I went to tattvamasi. You remember, when I was talking about this, I went to tattvamasi and explained that Jnana Brahma and everything. Now come back to tattvamasi. In the tattvamasi statement, made in Upanishad, tvam, tattvamasi is what is elaborately discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, basically. Statement is explained in detail. When they do that, the tvam aspect is explained in the first 6 chapters. What is explained? Tvam. What is that?
Tvam is in the first 6 chapters.
Yes.
But that's considered the karma.
First 6 chapters talks about jiva swarupa. What is the nature of the jiva? Okay. Then it explains the jiva, the effort, jiva prayatnam, karma yoga. Okay. Then the middle 6 chapters talks about Ishwara Swarupa, the nature of the Lord, nature of Ishwara, and Ishwara Anugraha, the grace of the Lord.
Grace.
Grace. In this middle 6 chapters, Bhakti, Arupasana is emphasized. Last 6 chapters, so in other words, middle 6 chapters, what is emphasized? Tat. First 6 chapters, Tvam. Middle 6 chapters, Tat. Then the last 6 chapters discusses the relationship between Jiva and Ishwara. Jiva Ishwara Aikya Sambandha Masi. How essentially Jiva is Ishwara. Are you with me? So Jnanam is emphasized in the last 6 chapters. First 6 chapters karma. When you keep on putting in effort karma, slowly you come to realize that it's not just your effort, but the grace of the Lord has to meet together. So middle 6 chapters talks about that. Then gain the jnanam of your true essential self. So tattvamasi that is declared in the Upanishad is explained in detail in the Bhagavad Gita. First 6 chapters, Tvam. Middle 6 chapters, Tat. Last 6 chapters, Asi. The connection between
Asi.
Asi means us. The connection between
God and us.
God and individual.
Vibhuti means what?
Asi. Vibhuti means glory.
So that is in the 7th middle.
10th.
10th chapter is Vibhuti Yoga.
Ishwara Prabhava.
Ishwara Swarupa. So then you understand this whole universe. Not whole universe, if you say what? Anything that you can conceive of is the glory of God. And the interesting thing is, it is not the end of the glory of Lord. From your angle, if you see the moon or the sun from where you are standing, right? You only see that much now. But actually, can you catch the entire sun with your eyes? What do you capture it?
Just a particle.
That's all. That's all Bhagavad Gita says. First of all the glory that you see is Ishwara's glory. But what you have seen is finite. What you have not yet seen is infinite. Ishwara's glory is not something that can be captured with your limited intellect.
Yes.
What you capture, very little. Therefore, Ishwara remains beyond your capture. When I understand this, what happens? Will I try to capture Ishwara?
You realize how small.
Will I be captivated by Ishwara? I will be captivated by Ishwara. I surrender to that Ishwara. The moment I surrender, the I dissolves. What remains? Just Ishwara. That is what they want you to experience. But for that, if you approach it this way, this chapter can help you. So by realizing the glory of Ishwara, and in comparison to that, the ego is nothing. When that ego is surrendered, you realize Ishwara. If you try to capture Ishwara in an intellectual prison, you will fail. So all these chapters we study to bring about that surrender in us more. Please understand. But if you try to understand this chapter and do that, if you think you can capture it for us, you will slip. Does that make sense? But the surrender should come through this kind of understanding. Then that surrender is a solid surrender. When you start functioning like that, thereafter, how will you function? Like an ambassador of Ishwara. Tera na mera. When you function like that, you will not gather any more vasanas. Already existing vasanas dissolves. You will realize this. So you've got to look at it from that angle. So this is Vibhuti Yoga's introduction to you. Right. In the first verse of this chapter, Lord Krishna talks to Arjuna and says, Om Mahabaho. Lord Krishna is addressing Arjuna as what?
Mahabaho.
Mahabaho means what?
Mighty arm.
Mighty arm. Strong fellow.
We are in chapter
10. 10, chapter 10.
10 first.
No, chapter 10. First verse. Oh, yeah,
back. Because many of you were not there when I did 45 years, so I'm giving you a little summary. Okay. So that you can get down to the 6th verse. That's it.
Now right now you are doing...
Verse number 1. He says, Sri Krishna is telling Arjuna, O Mahabaho, O mighty arm. Mighty arm, Arjuna, is he talking about just physical strength? Why is he addressing Arjuna as Mahabaho?
To tell him that he has strength in him, and the pipe of his...
The real strength
the
is...
Tummy, go, but the pipe of
the real strength is...
Faith.
Disillusion of ego.
His mind.
Love is a disillusion of ego. Are you with me? So here Arjuna has come down so much from the first chapter of Jesus. First chapter said, Sena yor vayor madhye tatam stavaya niya chitra. Take my chariot and raise it in between both the arms. My chariot. He's telling Arjuna. Arjuna is telling Krishna, take my chariot. From there, where does he come down? That requires strength, no? We are understanding wrongly. Strength means adding. Actual strength is
disposing.
So when you become stronger and stronger, what will happen?
Renunciation.
Reduce over. Many things will become reduced. When you are weaker, the luggage becomes too much. So Arjuna is Mahabaho now. Why? Because of inner strength. Not because of his external conquest. This is the correct understanding. Today we think, the more I have, I am strong. Actual understanding should be?
The less I am.
Less I am dependent.
Dependent.
I am stronger. Are you with me?
You don't need the periphery.
So he says, O Mahabaho, listen again. I will talk to you, therefore listen again. To what? My supreme word. The word is supreme because it's talking about the supreme Brahman. And secondly, the word is supreme because it is trying to indicate something which cannot be indicated by the word. Right? Like for example, I say, Pitambara. When you say Pitambara, what comes to your head? What comes to your mind?
Krishna Pitambara.
Shri Krishna comes to your mind. But literally the word Pitambara means what?
Yellow patka.
Yellow patka. I am saying yellow cloth, but you are thinking of Shri Krishna. Like that, I am going to say some words, but the word will make you see the self beyond the word. Therefore, such words are called as supreme words. Which I will speak to you. Why will I speak to you? Because you are delighted. You are delighted why? Because you are a Shishya. You have to some extent Viveka, to some extent Vairagya, to some extent Shatsampati, to some extent Mumukshatva. Therefore you are delighted. Hence I will sit and discuss these things with you. If you do not have these qualities, I would not be sitting and discussing with you. Isn't it? The more and more you ask, the more and more the person would love to give you. Because it shows your interest. Since you are interested, I will talk to you. But you must listen to it carefully. Because if you do not listen to it carefully, you can get stuck with the word Pitambara and miss the Krishna. My intention when I use the word Pitambara is to point you towards Krishna. Don't get stuck to yellow cloth. Lot of us, when we talk about the glories of Brahman, we get stuck to these verses. You understand? But through this we must get somewhere. The idea is to get to that, not to get stuck to the words. Like in math, they'll say the distance between point A and B is 5 centimeters. So you draw a line AB, 5 centimeters. Then the distance from A to C is 7 centimeters. Distance from B to C is 4 centimeters. Now what do? You take a compass and then draw an arc from A, 7 centimeters. From B, 4 centimeters. The meeting point is C. Then you complete the triangle. Isn't it? You get the picture. Triangle. Like that, the word that I will speak now, when you absorb your personality into that with doing sadhana along with it, you will start seeing the triangle. Don't get stuck with the arcs. So many glorious arcs I will present. But these for you to see the triangle. He who sees it, sees it. Who misses it, misses it. Do you understand now? So he says, neither the hosts of gods nor the great sages know my origin. Gods and sages. Sages are evolved souls. And gods are evolved at a different dimension beings. Even they do not know. Because even that is not the final. That is also finite. Even they do not know my glories. For in all respects, I am the source of all the gods and the great sages. Source cannot be known by the product. So if the product tries to know the source, the product will always fail. Sages and saints have come from me. They cannot know me. So do not make an attempt to know me. Are you with me? This is what we discussed in the beginning. Do not make an attempt to know me. Let me make this very clear to you. Nobody knows me. Atma or Brahman is not an object of comprehension. It is a subjective apprehension. You cannot know it with your intellect. You can only become in your bhava, with your bhava. A river can never know the ocean. But a river can become the ocean. The moment river merges with the ocean, it knows the ocean. But while knowing the ocean, it has already become the ocean. It's no more a river. If it retains its individual nature as a river, it can never know the ocean. Is that clear? Yes or no? So that's what he's saying. Neither the hosts of gods nor the great sages know my origin. For in all respects, I am the source of all gods and the great sages.
Guruji, as you are saying, you can't know the Supreme Lord, but in an attempt to become part, you have to understand that it exists and strive towards that something, right? even for a river, for example, it's rushing towards the ocean because it recognizes that it's there and the greatness of it. So without knowing it, that's where the faith comes in.
That's why the shastra, knowing is, that's the shastra, the guru telling you there is something called consciousness, this is the way to go, these are the sadhanas to do. If you are really interested, like a river is really interested to go to the ocean, it starts flowing in the direction, you start doing a sadhana.
So you have the shraddha comes in.
Exactly, like you rightly said, that's where the shraddha comes in. With the shraddha, you have to do the sadhana. Then only you will become internalized. Otherwise it will just be bookish knowledge. See, you are travelling on the ocean surface, you have no idea about what is lying under the water surface. You are experiencing the glories of all the things on the side as you are travelling in a boat, ship. But you do not know there is a totally different universe under the water and different layers of universe. When you do snorkeling, you have certain experiences. When you do deep sea diving, different kind of experience. The fellows who deep sea diving and they come out, you're sitting quiet for a while because something unbelievable they've seen in this. All this is petty tamasha, you know. You gave him two bread, but you gave me only one bread, you will not fight anymore. But there is much more here. We are unnecessarily focusing on this two bread and one bread. It looks so silly to you yourself. You understand? So what Vedanta says is, yes, we will not be able to prove to you externally. The only proof is going within. For that you need Shraddha. Till the Shraddha comes, no problem, you wait. We are not in a hurry. It will come to you. The knocks and shocks of the world will bring you to a state where you will question, is this all? When you come to that state, you come to Vedanta. What is a hurry? Vedanta is not in a hurry. Okay? So, I am the source of all the gods and great sages, therefore they do not know me. He who knows me as unborn, beginningless, and the supreme lord of the world, he undeluded among mortals, is liberated of all sins, of all mental agitations, of all vasana, of this question of coming and going only. He who knows me as unborn, beginningless, what is he trying there? Trying to tell there. He is saying,
he created me.
When the wave is born, is the water born? Ocean born? Yes, sir. It's always there. Ocean is not born when the wave is born. Similarly, when the wave dies, does the ocean die? No. So, please understand that all these great sages, saints, including you, the whole universe, has risen out of me. Has risen out of me. Okay. But when the world rises out of me, I still continue. When the world dissolves into me, I am still there. I am unborn, beginningless, beyond time. I am the supreme lord of the world. Supreme lord of the world means this manifestation and unmanifestation doesn't affect me in any sense. And he who understands his Atma as this, then that person, he becomes undeluded. He is among the mortals, but he is not deluded like you and me are deluded. He is also seeing the world, but the world has deluded. In our case, we are deluded by the perception and experience. He amongst us is the undeluded person. He is liberated of all sins. So the reason for sins is what then?
Delusion.
Is your delusion, which comes due to your ignorance. Ignorance of what? Of your true self. And when you understand the self from this angle, then you will be very clear that all the characteristics that he mentions in 4 and 5, verses 4 and 5, intellect, knowledge, non-illusion, forgiveness, truth, control over senses, mind, joy and sorrow, existence, non-existence, fear, fearlessness, non-injury, equanimity, contentment, austerity, charity, fame and infamy, different kinds of characteristics of beings arise from me alone. In other words, this list is not an end. It goes endless. Many things can arise, but please understand, when the purest and the grossest, when all these things arise, you be very clear. I am there as it is. Ocean is there as it is. So many things, so many waves have come and gone, but ocean is there as it is. Exactly like that, all these characteristics of beings arise from me alone. From the purest to the grossest. So when the purest is arising, then also you are not excited. When the grossest is arising, then also you are not dejected. Because you understand, all this is a manifestation of Brahman. And what? Figment of manifestation only. Lot remains there, which you cannot see. I have recovered the point. It's only a small dot. But in this dot itself, many things I don't understand. When this hits your head clearly, then what happens to you? From inside, you surrender. When you start surrendering, Ishvara fills you. Empty thyself, I shall fill you. This is the whole idea. Jesus Christ said that, no? Empty thyself, I shall fill you. Now there is I everywhere, in everything. मैंने इतना किया बट कोई भी रिकग्निशन नहीं. हाउ मच आई हैव डन टू माई चिल्ड्रन, हाउ मच आई हैव डन टू माई हस्बैंड, हाउ मच आई हैव डन टू माई वाइफ, हाउ मच आई हैव डन टू माई पेरेंट्स, हाउ मच आई हैव डन टू माई एम्प्लॉय सोसाइटी. नो क्राइस्ट. डू बी सेइंग दैट? यू अंडरस्टैंड दिस? यू विल नॉट मेक सच सेंस. A very clear head, all these characteristics, buddhi, clarity, all this is arising in consciousness, knowledge, wisdom, non-illusion. There is no more delusion there. When I see something, I don't see the picture, the object. I see the underlying reality.
This is something that we should start our children at the age of 10.
Because we reached here with all this baggage. With all this baggage, and we're sitting here, you know.
We have to undo so many things.
So if we like actually started it from this so much earlier,
no, I think if we see this today.
The point is correct, well taken, but you must also understand the point you're trying to say is these things should be given by early age.
Yeah, like especially what you just said about, you know, most of us have had this thought to some varying degree. I've done so much in gratitude, all of us, you know, I mean, I think you would be lying if anybody said I've never felt that way, to various degrees about various things or whatever. And you're right, I mean, it's just, it's silly on our part, because we're basically doing something to get something back before even doing it, right? So even before our action, we're expecting.
We're expecting, right?
We're setting ourselves up for failure. This particular, like, just this lesson, I think it's a great lesson to learn very early on. Like, do what you're ready to do from within with you.
Oh, yeah.
No, just this specific, you know. But, like, this specific, you actually lead to so much less baggage as you grow older.
That is why we say, from childhood days, when before the class also she was asking, I'm going to talk about after the class, about starting something for kids.
I've been telling you Guruji for 2 years.
So, anyway, we'll come to that.
Meet my children.
That is why we said, the most important thing is giving values to them from childhood.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? And slowly, slowly expose them to this knowledge in the right dosage.
Mm-hmm.
According to their age.
That's, you know, fun.
In my opinion, I think what we are learning today, kids come with naturally, like babies are born with an instinct of love and instinct of giving with no expectation. And through the years, somewhere we become cynical and jaded and start expecting back. And I don't know where that cusp is, whether it's at 5 or 10 or 15, but it's nice to break it before it happens. You know, like my kids are very young, and I see that as of now at least, they're able, I feel I learn a lot from them, they're able to share and give and be generous with their spirit and think much more than I am, you know. So I would love for that. I mean, yeah, I think we should start it early on.
So here is saying the bandwidth. The bandwidth from, like I said, from the purest to the grossest. This whole thing is in the manifestation. In the unmanifest, there is nothing pure, nothing gross. Everything has come from that one only. So everything is covered here. Fame, infamy, austerity, charity, contentment. Everything is covered. Fear also, fearlessness. When your ego is maximum, there is fear. And ego dissolves, fearlessness. Both has come from consciousness. So the entire bandwidth, entire range, manifestation has come from Brahman. All the glories belong to Brahman. This is the whole idea that is conveyed. Right? In this entire chapter. So this much only we have done. So starting from 6, we will do 6. Okay? So I would recommend all of you to please listen to this talk at least once again, so that a summary you get before you come for the next class, when we will do verse number 6 onwards. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
कायेन वाचा कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैव बुद्ध्यात्मना वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृतेस्वभावात् करोम्यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।